You may not know us, but if you've been supporting us, you've been laboring with us. And we just want you to know that. It says, so we are God, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, we are God's fellow workers. Fellow, that means like working together thing. We're God's fellow workers. And you're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, another built upon it, but let us each one give heed at how he builds on it. And Paul had to challenge the people at Corinth by asking them, so who's Paul and who's Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe that the Lord gave to each one of you. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He gave the growth. God gave the growth, right? So then neither plants nor he who waters plants as anything, neither who waters, but God who gives the increase again, you know, second time. So now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are, I love this particular phrase, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. Isn't that cool? So as Joni and I have had the privilege of serving in Mozambique and earlier in Brazil, folks, we've been working together. God's what? Fellow workers. God has given us the opportunity, the privilege, the to be able to serve and just, you know, be there in Brazil and Mozambique during these years. And we don't count it a burden. We have counted it an absolute privilege to be able to be there. And so what we're going to do is we have the last 14 years, and it includes a little bit of Brazil in the video here. So we've tried to condense 14 years into 6 minutes. Okay, so fasten your seatbelt. Every phrase is packed with trying to get information, everything into 6 minutes. And so that's what we'll do, and then we'll look into the Word of God. Okay? Amen? It's exciting to see what God's done. And again, we sang the song this morning, To God Be the Glory. And we just know that if God doesn't build the house, it's not going to be done. And if God's going to move hearts, it's not us who moves and changes hearts. It's the Word of God with the Spirit of God works in hearts. And I think, I believe the video speaks for itself, the things that God has done. Amen? And so maybe after lunch, ask any questions, speak more to the work there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to do things just a little bit different. Sometimes pastors get a little bit nervous when the guest speaker wants to do things a little different. I assured him that we wouldn't go too far off track, okay? So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. It's already been read for us. If you want to get more information about the context of what was going on in the life of Christ at this time, you go to the Luke 4, but we're not going to go there. I'm just going to say you can do that later when you get home today, okay? So go to Luke chapter 4, and you're going to see a whole lot more of what Christ was, what was going on in Christ's life. But in our chapter here, if we track the life, Christ had just been baptized. After baptism, he heard that John had been put in prison, so he goes back. So we're going to try to get, so he's going back from Jerusalem, where he was baptized in the Jordan River, right? And he had met several disciples when he was down there after his baptism, right? John the Baptist introduced him to several fishermen. Anybody remember who their names were? Peter and his brother Andrew. And then there was James and John, whose dad's name was Zebedee, okay? That was his dad's name was Z. And so it was James, John, Andrew, Peter, and these had been followers of John the Baptist. Very close. You know, they would have been, when they heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, how do you think they would have felt? It's like, whoa, our leader has been put in jail. What might that mean for them? You know what? This is You're getting what? Okay, good. So, you know what? I'm excited. You know why the kids are here this morning? Because you guys get to participate this morning. So nobody gets to go to sleep this morning, okay? So you get to answer questions just like the big folks get to answer questions, right? Are you okay with that? Sure. Sometimes the kids come up with ideas that are better than the adults. So I'm here this morning because I want participation. Okay, when's the last time you get to participate? It's usually Sunday school, you get to say something or other. This morning, I am going to be on you to answer questions and give me your ideas, your input. Okay, we okay with that? Okay, good. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you very much. You know what? We already are on the right track. This is exciting. Okay, so Jesus went to Nazareth, and he went into the hometown synagogue. You know what happens when you go to your hometown and you preach in your own synagogue and you tell them, I'm Christ, the Messiah? Do you think that went over good? It's like, no way. You say, that's what? They said, this is what? Blasphemy. You say you're God. No way. And they're angry, and they grab Jesus, and they want to take him out, and they want to throw him over the what? Cliff, that's right. He went over the cliff. And Jesus says, not today. Thank you very much. I'll be out of here. I'm leaving now. And he scoots out of there. It's like, exit, I'm out of here. And he just walked away. That's pretty cool, right? Not everybody, persecution doesn't always work that way. So he leaves Nazareth over here in the country, and he moves up to Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee. Thank you very much. Boy, you guys are good. So he goes up to Capernaum, and this now becomes his headquarters. Who's been preaching in the synagogue, and the people are going, what? Wow. This guy doesn't preach like the old Pharisees. They just taught fluff. He didn't teach anything. Jesus is preaching God's word. And they're going, wow. He speaks with authority. Plus, along the way, he's starting to heal people. Not about you. That'd get my attention. You know, if somebody who's who is lame, and all of a sudden next day he's going, whoa, that'd be pretty cool. That'd grab my attention. And so all of a sudden, his preaching, healing of people, what's happening? Now he's got all kinds of what? All kinds of people following, the multitudes. And if you go back to Luke, it says that there was multitudes already following him. So in today's, quotes, view of success, we would say Christ is being pretty what? Pretty successful, right? I mean, he's got the multitudes. He had one of those mega churches, right? He had the mega church, you know? I mean, mega, big, you know? Thousands. And, you know, most pastors today would be pretty happy if they had a couple. Maybe, I won't go too far there, but they'd be happy they had a church full, right? And they need to bust out the walls type thing, you know, and have those problems. So this is where Christ is at. But Christ has got a different vision of completing the great vision, the great commission. And we're going to realize that it's not by just getting multitudes of followers. Christ realized that to fulfill the Great Commission, it needed to be done a different way. By God's grace this morning, we're going to catch his vision of how it was going to work out in his own plan. And so, up to Capernaum, and then on one of these mornings, it says in verse 18. Verse 17, it says, from that time, Christ began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 18 says, then Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers. And so it says that Jesus, what was he doing that morning? What was the first thing he was doing? What did he do? He was what? He was walking. He was walking. Is that pretty important? So what? Here's the question, simple questions. What can we learn about the fact that morning that Jesus was out walking? What can we learn about Jesus? He's out walking. What else, to help us put this into perspective, what else could he have done that morning? He could have been preaching, but, you know, he wasn't preaching in his bed. He could have what?
Looking,
you know what? We're going to get there because that's the next step coming down the road here. Okay? So you're one step ahead of us. So don't just keep there. Don't. That's wonderful. But it says he was out doing what?
Walking.
He was walking. What else could he have been doing that morning?
Walking.
I'm sorry, one at a time. That was wonderful. I didn't get it though. What else could give me? Raise your hand so I can get him one at a time. What else could he have been doing? Right? Could he have been sleeping that morning? This was a sleep-in morning, right? We ever been there? Do you like to sleep? Could have been sleeping. Do we like to sleep?
Sometimes.
What else could have been doing?
Eating.
He could have been enjoying a great cup of joe, right? A cup of coffee. Where's your favorite coffee place?
I gave up caffeine a month ago.
Oh, wow. We won't go there for now, but that's a good idea. You can tell the rest of the folks later. Okay. I mean, I watch lines of cars getting their drive through what?
I don't drink coffee.
You don't have any coffee. Man, we got no coffee. Let's go to this side over here. I don't like that. The Caribou coffee. Okay. He could have been home drinking coffee, right? What else could have Christ have been doing that morning? So he could have been sleeping. He could have been eating breakfast. What else could he have been doing? Yes. Flying? Could have been out flying, you know. Christ could have done that. Yeah, could have been doing that. What else? Yeah? Do what? Doing what?
Raising a monkey.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, now the kids are doing great. How about you adults? We need some participation. Oh, it's an adult perspective. What else could my Christ have been doing that day? What else? Come on.
Talking to his father.
Could have been talking to his father. Could have been spending time in prayer with his father. Very, very, very possible. What else could he have been doing? What else did we do? What?
Could have just been lazy.
Just plain lazy. Just kicked up, kicked back, not doing too much. What now?
Reading the news.
Could have been reading the news, you know, on a cell phone. You know, What was his occupation? Hang on. What was his occupation? He was in carpentry, so what else might he have been doing that day? He could have been making a chair, making a table, making a wooden, I don't know, shelves, whatever, right? Anything else he might have been could have been doing that day? But what was he doing that day? This is the question. He was walking by the sea. Pretty significant. He was walking. So what did it take on Christ's part to do what? Be out walking. What did it take? What did he learn about Christ? He took a little what? To get out and walk, it takes some what? What? Take some steps. To take those steps takes what?
Effort.
Effort. What else does it take? Effort, right? Some physical effort. What else? Huh?
A goal.
Good. Oh, that's wonderful. A goal. So to have a goal, which means what? He would have had a goal. So which means? A reason to get up and go walking. That's really good. That's fantastic. Because it puts a couple things together. Do we ever not go out to do things sometimes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
How come we have a trouble getting up and getting going? What keeps us from getting out and getting going sometimes?
Arthritis.
Old age. Yeah. Is anybody in the 65, 70, an older group, and we're feeling it? Anybody like that? You know, it's like, whoa, it gets harder every day, right? Yeah. I think, we'll just sprint right, stop right there. Okay. So what does it take? It takes what? A goal, a reason. It takes work. It takes effort. What's another word it takes? It takes a lot of what?
Energy.
It takes a lot of what else? Initiative. Oh, I like that word. It takes initiative. What's initiative all? Okay, do something without being told. Oh, that's pretty good, huh? Initiative to do what? What does Christ need? Initiative to do what? What was he, do we need initiative sometimes? Do we ever lack initiative? Yes or no? So may God do a little inner working at this moment to maybe help us to examine our initiative. What keeps us from taking that initiative? What are the things that inhibit us?
Fear.
What else?
Selfishness.
What's selfishness? Wanting to do something else instead. Okay, somebody else? I heard somebody else.
Doubt,
fear, and doubt. They kind of go together to take that initiative. Ooh, I don't know how to do this.
Distractions.
Didn't like what?
Anything, really.
Give me a couple examples, because I think you're onto something here. Like, do we ever get distracted?
Yeah.
What kind of things distract us? Give me an example, because this helps us to be more specific.
Cell phones
could be a real. Cell phones plus a whole lot of what? So what things go with cell phones? Videos. What else? We have any news junkies around here? Yes or no? How about a little honesty, a little news junkies? How many like you're kind of like a, you're not a news junkie, but you're kind of like a news junkie, right? No, I wouldn't be a news junkie. Isn't it easy? We need to know everything that's going on. Can that consume time in our lives? Can work ever be something that might distract us? Can work be a distraction? Yes or no? What are you doing? I'm onto something? Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah. I didn't say that, right? Work? Can family ever be a distraction? Is it hard to balance work, family, ministry? Is it hard to keep those in balance? Is it? Could Christ's time with his Father have been a great excuse to not go out that day? Would it have been easier for Christ to spend time just talking with his Father? What do you think? I think so. So, folks, the question is, are there things, could it possibly be fear that would keep us from serving the Lord? Is that possible? Fear. Distractions. Keeping us from what? Serving the Lord. Yeah, could be. I don't want to get too personal here. Could sports be a distraction? Are sports a good thing? Absolutely. I love sports. I didn't like to study, okay? If there was a ball, I was there. Whether it was football, baseball, basketball, we didn't have soccer back then. But you know what? That was my thing. Are sports a good thing? Can we learn lots of things through sports? But can sports become a distraction? Well, how do we figure that one out? How do we know when sports is being a distraction and keeping us from doing what God maybe would want us to do? Is that a good question? Do we need to maybe sit down and maybe work on that one? Maybe? Well, so it says Christ was out walking. And he was walking with, what did you say? I liked what you said. He was walking. He had a reason for walking. And so the next thing, our brother over here said, and it says, and while walking, the next thing happened is he did what? Looking. He was looking because, what does our verse say? And while walking, he what? He saw. So when he was out walking, he was walking out there with a purpose. So is it easy to get up and go during it for our day without keeping what? Out looking? Serving, figure out what God would want us to do? Is it easy to just get busy? Yes or no? A lot of silence going on right at the moment here. It's pretty quiet. What do you think? Is it easy to get moving without? Because Jesus, it says, he saw what?
Not a car.
But what did he see? He saw two what?
Two men.
He saw two men. So when he went out walking, he not just was out walking to be out walking and take a walk. I like to take a walk. I like to do that. But as we move through life, does it need to be more than just moving through life? Can we move through life without seeing? Is it possible we can walk through life without seeing opportunities? Is it possible to walk through life without a being what? What's that? Have a purpose, a reason. Is it possible to do that? Yes or no? I think so. Because we can have a lot of other what? We're just talking about all the distractions, right? Distractions can keep us so focused on all of our other things that we're missing focus on what Christ was focused on that day. And it says he saw. So he was out walking. He got up. He took initiative. He didn't let fear. He didn't let laziness, all those things keep him from moving out. And he says he saw two men. He saw some men. And these two men, what was their names? Simon Peter and his brother named? Mr. A. Andy. Not Andy Griffith, it was Andrew, okay? So two fishermen. And they were what it says? And they were what? They were out fishing because they were what? Duh, right? You know, it's like that makes pretty good sense. So where do we find Christ? Did you walk into any old place? Where do you think Peter and Andrew were fishing? Where were they fishing? In the Sea of? Where was Christ headed and walking and looking? Funny thing, huh? So Christ didn't walk, just go walk in any old place. He was on a mission. He walked and he saw fishermen. He was looking to complete a vision that he had, and he knew that to do this vision, he needed some men. He said he saw two men. They were fishermen. And so Christ was looking for men. When we go out about, do we ever look for men? Are we looking for people, ladies looking for ladies, women to minister to women, and men working to minister with men, and children looking to minister to other children? Can you do that? Absolutely. Sometimes kids can minister to other kids in ways that nobody else can. Amen? If we're working together as a family, we can do that. And it says, and then Jesus said these words to these two men initially. He said, do what? He said, three parts. He says, what was the first thing he said? Follow me. The second little aspect of what he said was, follow me and I will do what? Make you. And the last part he says, I'll make you into something pretty special. I'll make you to become a? Thank you very much. A fisher of men. So there's three little aspects of this whole thing. It says, follow me. You think it was great to be a fisher of fish? Now, in my opinion, fishing is fun, right? How many like to fish? Like to fish? We got lots of folks that love to fish. But these guys had to fish. They fished with nets. It was not too much of a sport for them. Wasn't anything sporty about it. It was their livelihood. They had to bring in these fish. And then the next thing you had to do was what? Clean the fish. How about you? But fish can be pretty what? Slimy and smelly, right? I mean, that's not bad, you know. Scale them and other parts, you know, and all those good things. And but that's what they did. That was their job. How would you like, if you were given an option, hey, guys, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of. I'm giving you an option, a purpose. I got another option for you guys for your life. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of. Amen. You think that would have been exciting? Think, whoa. Did they already know Jesus? They already knew him. They had run into him. John the Baptist presented him, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So they knew who Christ was. They had met him. They already knew who he was. They didn't have contact because he went back up to Galilee. And in Galilee, Christ went up to Capernaum, and then these guys were fishing. And then this particular day, he came by, and he says, you know, I got an offer for you guys. Follow me. I'll make you what? Fish of men. What would it mean to, what would it include to follow Christ? What would all be included? What would it mean when Christ said, follow me? What would have been what the disciples would have been thinking? Wow, follow him. What would that all include? What would that require of them? What's that?
Quitting their job.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, quitting their job. What else? Come again? Moving away from their families? Yeah. Quitting their job and then follow Christ? Because if you're spending time with Christ, then you're not going to be with their family. What else could that have meant? Follow.
No flowers.
No flowers. No cakewalk. What else? Anything? Sorry? I still didn't catch it. Trust. Why? What kind of trust? Trust, what do you mean? Trust. You wouldn't know. I mean, it's like, wow, we'd never been here before. So trust, follow trust, because they would have had to be ready to trust Christ to do what? What's that?
Follow.
To follow. Is that pretty big? Are we ready to go there? If Christ came and stood right here where I'm standing, it says, guess what? Folks, you know what? Do what? Follow me. Would that require trust on our part? Yeah. Are you ready to go there? What else might it require? Okay, so guess what? He said, follow. So we have to go into the context just a tiny bit more, because follow is a little different from in their context than it is from our context, because follow in that particular context meant what? Like you said, leave their job, and they would have been doing what with Jesus now?
Following.
Walking what?
With him.
Right there with him. Kind of my spirit is going with Christ. I'm going to follow Christ in the spirit. Is that how it worked? Physically doing this. Can we do that today? No. Okay, I'll just answer the question real quick. Can we literally step by step follow with Christ today? No, we have his word, and so we're going to follow Christ, you know, trying to understand who he is and what we're going to do. But in this particular context, Christ told those disciples, Peter and Andrew, he said, do what? Come with what? Basically, come with me, right? Come with me. Walk with me. Live what? Live with me.
Learn of me.
Learn of me. Walk with me. Spend what with me?
Time.
Well, time with me. In a what? Try again. That kind of way or no? No, no, no. It's what kind of way? Physical. Physically being with each other. That's different than what we follow Christ, the idea of follow Christ today, right? That's very different. So Jesus was saying, guys, guess what? Follow, literally, you've got, I'm asking you to literally walk with me. Okay? Would require tremendous trust. Giving up family and all those things. So the second step in this whole process now, follow me, and what was Christ's goal in this invitation to follow him? He says, follow me, and what's the next thing Christ said? I will do what? Make you. And the end result would become fishers of men. I will make you. What are the kind of, what else, you know, how else could we say that? I will make you. How else might we say that? Fashion you. I will fashion you. I will whatever. What else could we, how else could we say that?
Become like me.
Become like me. I will make you become like me. Form. I will form you to become like me. What else? I heard somebody else here.
Disciple.
Disciple. Ooh. Boom. Bang. Oh. Ding, 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 right? I will disciple you. What's disciple thing look like?
Training.
How does that training look? Teach. So we get new information. And what else?
Demonstrate
by example. So we don't learn by example unless we, you know, if we're not around somebody. It's kind of like on the job what? Yeah, on the job training? Would that be a good thing? In our Christian lives, so Christ was asking those disciples to be with him so that they could get this on-the-job training. Can we do that today? Can we do that today? In our spiritual lives, your life right here today, okay? Can we get on-the-job training? Can we or can't we? Should we? Okay. Is on-the-job training hard, easy? What's involved with getting this on-the-job training?
Depends on which level you're at.
We're at level top. We're at top. No, I don't know what level means. What do you mean by what level?
So, like if we're counseling a trail coach, however many of us, we can't just come in day one and expect to have, you know, kids around us and all of a sudden, you know, them asking us to, you know, play an activity that we don't know.
Okay, okay. So what do you think the disciples, what level do you think the disciples have been coming in on? Level one, level two, level three training. What do you think? Where do you think these guys are at? What's that?
I think they were at the bottom because of the synagogues were not teaching them like they should.
You know, I kind of think they were coming in from the beginning. Follow me, and I will make you become, you know, I will transform you. So did the disciples need teaching, right? Was there understanding of the certain things about the kingdom of God that didn't know anything? Did they have lots of questions? I mean, were they excited about Christ dying? Did they understand that one? Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter said, what? What was Peter's response? No, you can't do that, right? And Jesus told Peter what? Get behind me, Satan. Peter had to go, that's not the answer I was looking for. Did Peter need some tweaking, serious tweaking of his vision? Big time or no? A little on-the-job training. Look, guys, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee tonight. Okay, jump in. We're going to disperse the crowds, jump in the boat, and let's go to the other side. In the middle of the trip to the other side, it's about like a 5 mile, 4 or 5 miles to the other side. Guess what happened? What happened? The wind and the waves were coming over the boat, into the boat, and it's like the boat's filling up, and they go, whoa! I think we're going down. So what did they do with Jesus? What did they tell him?
Wake up!
We're going to what? Die. We're going to die. And Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves. And he tells them what? Oh, you of what? And they went... Even the what? The wind and the seas. Would that have been a pretty on-the-job training type preparation like job, you know, that day? Yeah. In that particular case, the disciples were walking with Jesus. They were with him. They were with him. They were with him through thick and through thin. And Jesus they tried to stone him and they tried to kill him and the disciples are right there and Jesus rebukes. How many times did Jesus rebuke the Pharisees? And guess what? Guess who's with him? And he's with them. And he sends them out on a mission. Guys, it's time for you guys to go. Preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead even. Would that have been pretty cool? They got all this what? On-the-job experience. How did they get it? Because they were what? Follow me and I will make you. How can this happen today? Do we need to be doing this today? What would it look like today for us to be doing the same thing? We're in the context of what? The
church.
We're in the local building. Is that how it's going to happen in the building? We're in the local church, right? So, folks, can this happen today? How can this happen today? What do we need to be doing? The disciples came in under who? Jesus Christ, right? So to come under, follow me, they needed to, what kind of attitudes, as Jesus said, I'm going to transform you guys. So in order to be transformed, they needed to, what kind of an attitude did they need to have? When they came into this relationship, what kind of an attitude did they need to have to be transformed? Deny self. In what way?
Ourselves. Just our flesh.
Our flesh. Our flesh says what?
I want to do what I want to do.
I want to do what I want to do. Been there? Mm-hmm. Even after we get saved, we still want to do what we want to do. We battle our flesh because we still want to do things we want to do. The way we want to do it, we want to do it our way. Not Christ's way, right? What else? It's so important when we allow. So today, we don't have Christ here, but we have spiritual leaders. Do we have spiritual leaders? Does God give us spiritual leaders? Has God give some that are a little bit more spiritual, a little bit older spiritually? Okay? Yes or no? Yeah. Whoa, so what would that look like? Sorry, say again? Whoa, submission. Submission in what way? Did you hear that word, by the way? Just like submit. Is that an easy word, a hard word? That's really hard. Yes or no? Submission?
It can be. It depends on the person, you know.
Okay. Well, later we'll talk. No, I'm just kidding. So submission, in what way do we have to be submissive? Do we need to be submissive to what? Christ was doing what with the disciples? Teaching them, right? Do you guys want to hear what we're being taught? Are we okay with listening and learning? Submission? Submitting? What else is in this whole submission thing? What needs to happen? Do you think Peter was ready to have somebody tell him you're wrong? Nope. That was pretty fast. No? Do we ever have trouble being told that we might be doing something wrong? Oh, really? Yeah. Are we all on board with that one? Why is it so hard to allow somebody to help us out spiritually? The big P word, right? Pride. What is it about pride that keeps us from allowing somebody to put their finger on something in our lives, an area in our life where we need to grow and change? Why is it so hard? Pride, right? We delegate the whole thing to pride. Do we ever come into church and we always say good morning? Generally, the next question is, how you doing this morning? Right? How you doing this morning? Is that pretty typical? And the typical answer is, over here, somebody said what? I'm doing good. Is that always true?
No.
Is most of the time we're probably not so good?
No way.
Is many times do we have something, maybe one a little something or other going on in life that maybe is not so great?
Yep.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Would that be an area that God would want us to work on? Would that be an area that God might even want us to seek help from someone to help us to work on that area? What do you think? Is it hard to be vulnerable? What does it mean to be vulnerable? What's that mean?
Easily distracted.
Okay. Vulnerable. We need to be willing to do what? What? Let go. What else? Just be vulnerable. Just be. Let others in. Do we like to let others in? And the reason is P-R-I-D-E, pride, right? Because we don't want to let other people know what? We have problems. We're struggling. We walk into church and everybody else seems like everybody's doing great. Right? It's just me who's got all my problems, right? You ever been there? And we're not in this kind of this allow others as Christ discipled his followers. I want to transform you. Jesus said, if you follow me, the goal is to transform you so that you can become effective what? Fishers of man, and that's not just, you know, being soul winners. It's the whole picture. These guys were already saved. He was now asking them to give their lives to him, to follow him. But in the process, Christ knew the things that needed to be changed in their lives. Oh, Mr. Doubting T, right? What's his last name? Didymus Thomas. Jesus wanted to do a work in his heart and life to help him to overcome kind of this doubting aspect of just being a doubter. Oh, I don't know. Everything was, I don't know, you know. Peter was jumping in with two legs, both feet, both arms, and without thinking, you know. He just, let's go, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was Peter. You know, Jesus said, whoa. And Thomas, he's on the other end of the spectrum, right? And everybody else is kind of in between someplace maybe, right? And you can tell we're doing just fine. We're going to survive. This is a family deal, okay? We share everything. Okay, so listen, folks. Can we do this discipleship thing? Are you? Because it's kind of we need to find ourselves in the spectrum of if we're spiritually a little bit older, look for somebody that we can help. But at all times, we always need to be allowing somebody else to speak into our life. Amen? So where were the disciples at? We said, well, they're probably down here getting started, right? I think that's where they were. But did Christ want them to stay there? What was Christ's goal and mission for these guys? At the end of 3 years, that they would have lives that were so transformed that when it came time for giving the Great Commission, here's just an interesting observation. So guess where the Great Commission of Matthew 28, at the end of the story, right? We're at the beginning of Christ calling his disciples, and then we walk through the whole Gospels until we get to Matthew 28, death, resurrection, 40 days later, and now Christ is he told them, the resurrection day, he said, go meet me where? Capernaum. Where's our story taking place? He says, I'm gonna meet you in a mountain up in Capernaum. We thought it was in Jerusalem, right? It's not where it was. This mountain was in Capernaum. At the very end of the story, Matthew 28, these disciples are still reeling. They are still having trouble. Remember Resurrection Day? The disciples had a lot of trouble doing what? Believing what? That Christ had risen from the grave. I mean, they were living in fear. Fear and doubt was just dominating their lives. So Christ spent time with them. Final preparations for his disciples. They go to the mountain. As they went up to the mountain, when they saw him, it says they kneeled before him, but some doubted. Still, wait a minute. These are our heroes. These are our disciples. You know, where's the success? You know, Christ, you know, a little work left to do. But guess what? Some doubted. And he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So who's he talking to right now? The multitudes? Who's he talking to? 11. Significant? Christ was commissioning those with whom he had done what? Spent that time with them, one-on-one discipleship, working with them, personally working with them, working with them, working and helping them to grow, teaching them, working with them. And guess what? Christ knew that they could do what? You can do it. Oh, I don't know. I think the disciples that particular day, still 40 days, they're still like, I don't know about this. And Jesus said, all authority. They kneeled before him. They were doubting. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore. We need to know what the therefore is there for, right? That therefore is huge. Therefore. And now we have invitation to be following Christ. 3 years of training. And now he's to do the work that he had prepared. Folks, the vision for reaching the world for Christ depends upon our being vulnerable, our being willing to allow others to speak truth into our lives, and not just on Sunday morning, and maybe not just on Wednesday night, and maybe not just, but folks, this is a one-on-one. This is coffee together. This is conversations together. This is being willing to share. I got trouble with my marriage. I got trouble. I don't know how to. My kids are like, they're driving me crazy. I need to know better how to raise my kids. I need to know how to better how to be a Christian at work or at school or wherever it is. How to reach my neighbors for Christ. I want to do this, but I need some help. Who should all be involved?
Me.
With. I got one volunteer so far. Who's supposed to be a part of all of this? Who?
The supervisor.
How many people?
Everyone.
Uh-oh, be careful. If you see everybody, that means who? Let's make it personal. That means who? Are you ready to go there? Is there distractions in your life that would keep you from allowing others to minister in your life, or you seeing the vision, having the vision, going out and seeking others to help? So I don't know how to do that. That's why you need to get under somebody else that will help you learn how to do that. Duh! Oh, yeah, William, that's... Oh, wow. So this is, folks, in this vision that Christ had. So if everybody's supposed to be in the game, right? So we say this is... In this particular game, there's nobody sitting where? Nobody sits on the sidelines. And nobody sits in the what? Nobody's in the bleachers either. Everybody's in the? Everybody's on the field. Everybody. So the question this morning, where are you at? Are you in the game? Or some excuse, some distraction is keeping you from, and you've got to answer for God, what kind of distraction? What is it that might be keeping me from getting this? It's not the game. It's the game of making disciples. Because, folks, if we're going to reach and fulfill the Great Commission, our job is to be discipled and making disciples kind of at the same time. Okay? And you say, Pastor, I want to get in the game. Maybe we're willing to admit I've been sitting on the what? What would sitting on the sidelines look like?
Watching.
What else would sitting on the sidelines might mean what? What that might look like. You know, that not, we're going to point any big, no fingers at somebody else, but you know what? It might look like what? Sorry? Not doing anything? It might mean like coming to church on Sunday, be the first one out the door. Yes or no? Maybe. Being an untouchable. Right? And so, folks, every one of us needs to give an account to God. You need to know what you're doing. And are you in the game? Because then the game can look like a lot of different things. There's so many different things to do. You can be investing your life in children, adolescents, teenagers, married couples, older folks who need visits. There's just so many different ways to use the talents and abilities. Being a secretary to a missionary in Florida, putting up with the heat. Amen? But that's not exactly a disciple. That's your job, but it's not disciple making yet, okay? There's so many different ways. So folks, let's pray. Oh Lord God, you see each and every one of us individually. You know us. You know the areas of our life that we need to be working on. I pray, God, you'd help each one of us, including me, be willing to open my own life and each one to open Open our lives, God, before you and before others to get the help that we need to be able to take steps forward spiritually. Pray, God, you'd speak to each one of us in just this self-examination of knowing what we are doing or you know, what we're not doing and what, God, you would want us to be doing in this whole growth, transformation, being made into fishers of men. So God, take your word. Take these few words. Speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name.